Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Spirit School of Ministry podcast. Another one, another great one. Today, yes. To my right, I have Pastor David Lean. To my left, I have the amazing Jeremiah Tasco. Mm-hmm.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes.
It's and my red suit today. Yeah, huh?
It is so true. And I am Athena. Yes. So you are here with us today. We're going to talk about something that I think all of us kind of ponder over as we are going through the scripture. JT, do you want to kind of give us some background and insight into our topic today?
Yeah. So we're talking about the stony heart. What is it? What it means? How do we deal with it? How do we deal with a stony heart?
How did you say Estonian heart or Latvian heart?
No, I didn't. And you promised you weren't going to say those jokes, but you can't help yourself.
I have to do it for me.
Well, that's why we're all here, David, for you.
I can't leave it unsaid.
So let's start with your stony. No, I'm kidding. So stony heart. Yeah. I mean, the Bible talks about a stony heart in Ezekiel 11 and Ezekiel 36 chapters.
Yes.
Also talks about a stony heart in Book of Psalms, and then we get the stony ground, which is kind of a metaphor, parallel that Jesus is speaking in the parable of the sower, and you get that in all four Gospels.
Yep.
So how do these things connect? What is the stony heart? Why don't we start there, David? When you hear that stony heart phrase, what does that mean to you?
I think of numbness, and I think of stubbornness. You know, and I think also in Job 41, it says the Leviathan has a hard as a rock, you know, so it's really in the image of the Leviathan, who, you know, in the ancient Near East, that's really a Satan figure, you know, so this is linked to being somebody in rebellion against God. I also found a reference to it when David's about to go massacre all of Nabal's people in I think it's 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel. And then Abigail gets him to stop, and then she tells her foolish husband the next day that he almost got wiped out in the middle of his drinking party. It says that his heart turned to stone and he became as one dead.
Wow.
And then he died 10 days later.
Right.
So it's sort of like encountering reality, encountering your foolishness and not repenting and just dying. You're like, well, I guess, I guess I'm headed towards death and I'm just going to harden my heart in stubbornness and I'm not going to yield. And, you know, there's always consequences to that.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's also the parallel idea of hardening your heart, hardness of heart. So it's not just something that is passive. It's an active. It becomes active. You know, if you have a stony heart, you'll continually add more stones to the pile. You know, and I know I've experienced that. So if I'm being transparent, you know, there's just certain times that you want to wall up. You know, you don't want to yield in a certain area. And you just go, no, I'm going to rationalize my behavior, or I'm going to blame somebody because I feel justified in doing that. And so I think that all, you know, orbits around the idea of the stony heart. There's definitely spiritual solutions, which I'm sure that we will discuss. But yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think about it? Have you ever had any meditations on this?
Actually, yes, because one of the questions I actually asked myself was, how often do I, like you said, you sometimes you build a stone upon your own heart or add stone to your own heart, which is actually how some stone is created, right? Sedimentary rock.
Right.
Keeps building upon itself and becomes thicker and thicker and layers. Harder and harder and all of those wonderful things.
So we're not onions, we're layers of rocks.
But there you go. We're going to peel the rock.
Yeah.
We're peeling the rock.
Peeling the rock.
I asked, though, is there and how a time when God makes our hearts stony? And in the scripture, it actually states it more than once, right? That he told Moses he turned Pharaoh's heart to stone. In the beginning, if you think about it, he created us. So if we're born from a stony heart because of the sin that we were born into, did we do that ourselves before we were even aware? No. God would have had to be the one to create that original structure of stony heart, that foundation, that thing that he wanted to build upon, right? And so that's what we use him for. And this rock that can be looked at as a hindrance can also be something that we can use as a ability to see through things, right? Because some rock can actually be permeated, like light can shine through it, sound waves can shine through it, like things that we don't necessarily see or even recognize are happening, but it can. Mm. And it can also work the other way when we build upon the rock. So through hearing false doctrine or lies or believing something that someone else says, we can actually build upon that ourselves. And God will allow that to happen for a reason. He will allow that to happen for us to grow and to learn in some circumstances. In other circumstances, and this is just the revelation I got as I was asking these fun questions, was then those other circumstances are us 100% doing it to ourselves out of pride, out of ego, out of self-preservation, things of that nature. So those are just kind of some of the things when I first started asking my questions.
Yeah. So for me, there's two elements, obviously, stony and heart. And so stony is like, to me, that's the condition. When I read Ezekiel 11 and Ezekiel 36, the Lord is saying, you know, paraphrasing here, but I will give you a heart of flesh, right? I will take out your stony heart. So what David was speaking to in terms of that rebellion and what you started to touch on, Athena, there was that there is a condition that is purveyed upon all mankind when they are born. They are born, the Bible says, dead in trespasses and sins. And that death, I know it's like they're alive, but they're dead. Well, what are we talking about when we say they're dead? Well, there's two things that are actually dead. There's your spirit that is dead, and then your heart is stony, or it's not alive, or it's not, I'll say, impressionable. Mm-hmm. It's not soft and impressionable by God or by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible calls that stony. And Ezekiel, he's addressing this condition. Your heart is stony. Why? Because you are hard-hearted. You are stubborn, stiff-necked people. You know, he's speaking to the Egyptians, and then he's prophesying to them later, you guys do not repent. You guys don't listen to me. You're not loving me the way I said. You rather run after other foreign gods and a whole other litany of things in Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah, if you read those prophets. So in Isaiah, or excuse me, in Ezekiel in particular, he's saying, like, he's releasing a promise over them and saying, like, look, you turn back to me, and here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a new spirit, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, one that I can write my laws upon and impress myself upon you and direct you and lead you. So stony heart to me is a condition that all those who are born in the world have and need to have healed, and that gets healed. First, when you come to know the Lord, you get the new spirit. But then when you confess Christ, right, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you get a new spirit. But then we also look at the heart part of this, and where we see that you get a new heart is when you go into the waters of baptism. Mm-hmm. And that's when there's that circumcision. There's something that's cut away. The old stony heart, we believe, is cut away. And that inability, that built-in stubbornness is actually cut out. And God gives you a new heart that's impressionable. It is, I like you said the word permeable. Mm-hmm. I love that, because most rock is if you were looking at this from a scientific level, sure, it's somewhat permeable, but the hardened heart is not permeable at all. We look at that in the parable as we jump to the Gospels, where it says that it was fell on wayside or pathway that was like compacted earth or stony ground. There's so much rocks in there that roots can't develop. That means that seed can't grow. Mm-hmm. So it creates an impassable condition for the things of God that need that environment, the right mature, nutrient-rich, soft soil to grow and to flourish. That's really needed there. So that's where I start with stony heart. It's like, oh, there's two words. One's a condition. One is actually a promise from the Lord. And then we build. Mm-hmm. We build from there.
Yeah. this is a huge issue for us as humans, because we're, you know, Irenaeus said, the glory of God is a man fully alive. Mm-hmm. And you cannot be fully alive when your heart is numb,
right?
You know, and that can happen from our inherited sin. You know, I don't believe in inherited guilt, you know, but we inherit that stubbornness and, you know, that mindset and that deadness of spirit from Adam and Eve. But we, You know, so that's something that we receive, not really God's will that we receive it. Mm-hmm. That was completely our, you know, responsibility in Adam.
Yep.
And we sin ourselves and we add to that. But also we can have a hard heart because of the things that people do to us and that we don't respond well to wounds that we take.
Right.
And our heart becomes seared or it becomes scarred.
Yeah.
You know, and it may be that we build intellectualism or we build other walls to not feel, mm-hmm. you know, and so or to just resist any sort of love.
Yeah.
To resist yeah. anything that would touch our heart. And that's, you know, that's been a journey. We all go through tragedy, we go through loss, we go through many temptations to harden our heart, you know, and it's not always just a despicable, wicked action, although sometimes it is.
Sure, sure.
And so we got that working on multiple fronts, and we just need to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's no way, I mean, and we live in a society where we want to figure out what wounded our heart, and we want to figure out how we form thinking patterns and mm-hmm. You know, who abused us. And, you know, if that's going on, it's good to talk through those things and figure it out. But usually it just gets so complicated.
Mm. Sure.
That it's like, dude, I just need to be saved from this. I'm not going to be able to figure my way out of a rocky heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, that's the beauty of what Christ has done is he took our heart of stone mm-hmm. into himself. He lived a human life in the likeness of sinful flesh, mm-hmm. being tempted in every way that we were tempted, right? And he actually still could weep.
Yeah.
And he could still express and he could still be touched and he could touch others.
Yeah.
And he showed us what it means to truly live from a tender-hearted place. Mm-hmm. And that's something I want to experience more and more and more. It's something yeah. that God's been healing in my life. And I really think that tears are the solution to this.
Mm.
You know, it's like, yes, baptism, mm. the waters of God, also the waters of God in our tears, you know. And that's something that, you know, it's really a gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's something that I admire people like JT and Athena and Pastor Bob and Pastor Liz. Because I just see so many times that they begin speaking of the Lord or they mm-hmm. begin prophesying and just God's tears are coming through them. It's not even maybe their own tears. Mm-hmm. It's these tears of, you know, Isaac the Syrian. He said there's burning tears and there's tears of anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. there's these tears of grief and there's tears of just God's love mm-hmm. that come through us. And it keeps our heart tender. It keeps
yeah.
our heart soft. It lets us walk in the resurrection that we experience in the waters of
right.
baptism. And so, yeah, I think that's why God speaks in Ezekiel. He says, I'm going to sprinkle you clean. I'm going to wash you of all your idols.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to cut out your heart of stone and mm-hmm. put in a heart of flesh.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's just so much going on here where it's like, we have to be mindful of this, of what a big danger it is to be numbed out and to be stubborn and
right.
to be fortressed up.
Right.
It's a big danger. Jesus never lived like that.
Yeah.
And just to say, God, I can't save myself from this. It's too complicated. I need to be born again today through water.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't been baptized, go do that. You know, the water could be through Jesus's mm-hmm. spiritual cleansing that he gives us on the cross. The water can be through the tears. It could be through others ministering to us,
yeah.
washing us with the promises of God.
It's through the reading of the word.
Amen.
But it, I mean, it's like if our heart is, the heart is so deep, you know, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, this is the last thing I'll say, Jeremiah 17:9, we might know that
yeah,
verse. So the heart, our heart is deceitful and desperately sick. Who mm-hmm. can know it?
Mm-hmm.
In the Greek translation, it says the heart is so deep that no one can know it.
Mm-hmm.
And these are, you know, I think both are very helpful insights that it's like, look, it's so convoluted. It's so deep. Only God mm-hmm. can really speak
right.
to that.
Right.
We should not think that we can do our own heart surgery.
Right.
Imagine like a heart surgeon trying to operate on his own heart.
Yeah.
You'd
yeah,
be
yeah.
dead.
Super hard. Yeah. No, I'm yeah. with you on that. I'm glad you, it's interesting. I'm glad you referenced Jeremiah 17. Like mm-hmm. The stony heart, it actually dovetails into this understanding that God is our healer.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's such a healing that has to do with the heart, right? And there's a lot of inner healing, which is actually very good nowadays. Some of it is not so good because it doesn't put its dependency on God. It puts its dependency on different modalities outside of God.
Our ability to confess specifics.
Well, our ability yeah. to self-diagnose mm-hmm. and self-remedy.
Yep.
And we can do all that without God.
Yep.
And that is actually a place where we we get into some difficulty because we don't actually know if we're being deceived. Mm-hmm. And so I want to address that and then one other thing. But the Bible talks about the heart being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Mm-hmm. So we're talking now in context to a believer. I want to make sure there's distinction here. Someone who does not know the Lord and has not gotten water baptized has a stony heart. Someone who is gotten water baptized, obviously has confessed Christ, you know, they're saved. They've gotten water baptized. They have a heart of flesh. They have a new heart. That's the way we describe that. You have a new, I'm going to call it a new supernatural ability to bring yourself into a place of softening. Like before, you're so numb and so hardened that you couldn't do that without like the Holy Spirit coming upon you and really like helping you get there. Mm-hmm. Now the Lord's given us an ability in our own will to make the choice of, you know what, I'm going to choose humility right now. Like the Lord so many times in the word says, humble yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you have to do that. Mm-hmm. You have to repent. We have to humble ourselves. We have to soften. And that's yielding of the will. That's also when you yield, what's actually also happening is when you're yielding, you're creating sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Because when we harden ourselves, what happens is we're closing our ear, mm-hmm. we're shutting our heart, we're walling up, we're getting rigid, we're getting stiff, we're getting numb, mm-hmm. and we are resisting now the subtle, gentle influence and leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we do that ourselves, mm-hmm. but then the Lord gave us I'll call it a mechanism, but it's a supernatural mechanism. It's actually really incredible where we can continually wash ourselves. You know, baptism was something that transformed us, but what got transformed can still get, we'll say, hardened. But that hardening isn't like the same condition right. as when it was stony. It's just hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And as we repent and let go of that sin, then we're washed and cleansed and we're softened again. Yeah. And we're that corruption that was starting to bring callousness and hardness and like a scab, it starts to go away and it becomes soft and pliable and wonderful again. Super cool there. But as it pertains to healing, there's this part of God where he is wanting to heal us in our heart. And he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, the one that mends and can see everything. Bible also says, this is speaking of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God is the candle of the Lord and he searches all the inward parts of the belly. Like he knows everything about everything inside you. Mm-hmm. The things that we have so many blind spots. Like we have to be honest, we have blind spots because we have little biases. We have little, maybe it's not a big fortified like wall with razor wire, but it's a pony wall. And it's enough of a divide that says like, mm-hmm. this is me, that's you. You know, I'll talk to you over the top of it, right? Like Home Improvement, like I'll just, that's just God. I'll take that much of God and, oh God, tell me about me for today. Yeah. Right? Like I'm getting a little real right now, but like, just tell me a little more about me. Tell me what you think about me. Tell me, okay, good. That's good enough. We leave the wall up and we continue on our merry way thinking that we have this like really tight relationship with the Lord. That's what the Lord was showing me. He's like, man, don't just give me lip service. Like I want to come all the way into the yard. Matter of fact, I don't even want a barrier between us. And so that's where our heart that gets hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, or there's these stony places, right? Bitterness is mm-hmm. a stony place. Resentment is a stony place. Unforgiveness is the mother of all stony places, right? And these create barriers between us and the Lord and us and his body. Mm-hmm. And when we create those barriers, it's very difficult for life to flow. Yeah. And so God is a God of healing. He wants to heal the breach and the walls that come between us because mm-hmm. of our hard heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those stony areas also prevent us from receiving all of what God has for
us. Oh, yeah. That's good.
I had heard Spurgeon say that the stone of our heart is the throne in which we crown the enemy.
Ouch.
Yeah, he's got some
and
good
that
words.
Hit me so hard. Right? Like, I was like, whoa. What does that like look like? Because if you think about it, right, a king wants to keep his throne. He's not going to want to give up his throne. And then when we were speaking of the crying, like stone is worked away by weathering. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people all the time, because people are like, why am I always crying? Why am I always crying? I'm like, I appreciate crying because it's cleansing. Mm-hmm. It's cleansing in so many different ways. And now when talking about this stony heart thing, I actually look at it too as when we're crying, we're working away some of those hardened areas after mm-hmm. we even receive the Lord, right? Those hardening mm-hmm. areas can be washed away. Mm-hmm. They can be worked away in that cleansing and in that process of yeah. it. So where the enemy no mm-hmm. longer has any type of control or mm-hmm. any open door to hold on to that hardening or build upon that hardening mm-hmm. in my heart.
Right.
So I have to look at all of the tools that God has given us. And when we start to get hardened, we can be blinded or we can be misfocused mm-hmm. in regards to those tools that we yeah. are all already aware of, right? Yeah. God has already given us that. As yeah. we do our walk with God and with each other, we get more tools. We get more ammunition in our arsenal, for mm-hmm. lack of a better way mm-hmm. of putting it. And so we can literally blow away those hardened places. We can blow away that stone that is the throne of the enemy and just say, no more.
Yeah.
Be gone. Mm-hmm. And come to that place where you were saying, with when we have that flesh heart, that heart that is just, if you touch it, it's going to end it and come back. Mm-hmm. There's going to be multiple ways to impact that heart.
Yeah.
And one of the blessings that we get is that God gets to impact that heart with his word, mm-hmm. with his truth, with his people, with the things that he has for us, what he's called us to do in our lives. And we can only do that when we allow for that flesh to do its job after that stone has been removed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
good.
Yeah. I think it's important to remember that all the, I like how you guys are saying, we build the walls. Mm. Mm-hmm. All the walls are human constructed, made in America, you know, not made in heaven. I'll tell you that much.
Made in Estonia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, I think that alone, to realize that the walls we build are lies.
Amen.
Mm. Oh man. Well, like, you know, I'm not safe. I'm not going to be provided for, you know, whatever it may be. It's all lies. And the Bible says that a lie is a nothing. Mm-hmm. It has no real existence. Mm-hmm. You know, these walls are illusions. You know, we're treating them as if they're real, but there's no separation between us and Christ. Mm-hmm. We're in him. We can actually receive, we can experience him anytime that we believe that we can. If we're not putting something up against him, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think when we actually come back to the gospel and we say, I've been seated with him in heavenly places. I'm in Christ. I'm in his heart. He prepared a place in the Father for me. Out of my belly flows rivers of living water. Mm-hmm. To cleanse me. It's just, he's closer than my innermost thought. He's in my spirit. He's closer mm-hmm. to me than my own spirit. He's mm-hmm. like, you know, mm-hmm. he's the source of my spirit.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like, whoa, okay. So if we can actually sit in that and go, Holy Spirit, is that real? You know, and allow him to well up within us. That's going to be like the tsunami that comes into a little podunk village. Like all those houses are going down. All those walls are going down. All those mm-hmm. chicken coops are being washed away, mm-hmm. you know? All the filth is being washed away, you yeah. know, and it's just like, that's bad news for the people living on the wall. Like you said, you know, if there's like Satan's being crowned somewhere, he's getting swept away too, because he doesn't have a real authority.
Right.
Christ has taken all of his authority. Yeah. He's just a deceiver. Right. So we build up these walls like, oh, I'm damaged. I'm broken. I can't feel. I, you know, whatever people mm-hmm. are saying, mm-hmm. I've been hurt. I'm a victim. I can never recover from this. Mm-hmm. I have this condition. I have that wound. I have this trauma. Why not just believe?
Yeah.
I'm not divided from Christ.
Yeah.
I have his name. I'm whole as he is whole.
Yeah.
Why not believe that? You know, and from there, there's a great outworking. Mm-hmm. There's a great outworking of cleansing mm-hmm. and tenderizing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Where we can even move from an empathy to a compassion. You know, Jesus, it didn't say that he, you know, he saw the hungry people and he remembered what it felt like to be hungry and he could sort of empathize with them. It's like, you know, he actually was moved with bowels of compassion. Mm-hmm. He was churning within mm-hmm. in his guts, you know,
yeah,
because he could sense that from Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I love that. You're speaking on his nature. You know, when Christ was born, he was first conceived of the Holy Spirit. So we understand he had a perfect spirit.
Yeah.
And he had a perfect heart. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a stony heart. Mm-hmm. He was tempted, just like we're tempted mm-hmm. in every way, yet without sin. So he didn't, you know, give in to any temptations or any indifference or any bitterness. And, you know, he had comments about a faithless generation and different yeah. things. And, you know, you can look at that and be like, oh, he was pissed off at them. It's like, no, he's making a blanket straight up statement about a straight up observation about you guys are stuck, mm-hmm. You know? And so, it's interesting that Christ himself, you know, he displayed that I'll use the word supple, but like that yielded heart, that pliable heart. He even said it himself, I don't do anything on my own accord. I'm doing what I see and hear from the Father. Mm-hmm. I'm solely directed by him. And when I leave and the Holy Spirit comes, same scenario. Holy Spirit won't do anything on his own, but he will do as the Father directs. Mm-hmm. And so he modeled for us what it should look like. And I want to take and build upon what David just mentioned, because I sense that today. And I just want to speak this out there for anybody today, that there are times, and there's probably plenty, even in the present, a lot of times in the past, where the enemy wants to resurrect things and fling it in our face, mm-hmm. and start to like hand us a brick. Yeah, like offer us a brick, like, yeah, you don't want to get hurt again, right? And we like take the brick and we're like, yeah, you're right. And we start building. Yeah. And he initiates because he's a tempter. That's what he does. And at the same time, the Lord has his hand extended. I really sense this from the Spirit today. He has his hand extended saying, just give me the brick.
Yeah.
Just give me the stone. Mm-hmm. Give it to me. Mm-hmm. And I'll take it. And you and I are going to build something together.
Yeah.
But we're not going to build a wall. Because the Lord actually says that he's our high tower, right? He's our place of refuge. He's our place of protection.
Yeah.
So if we need protection, we don't need to run to ourselves to wall up, because that won't actually bring us protection. That'll bring us into a worse place of isolation. And the worst part of it is that we are isolating from the Lord most of the time.
Right.
Right? Like the enemy's convinced us to shell up and hide from God, just like what happened in the garden when Adam and Eve realized that they had sinned. Yeah. They were exposed and they went to go hide themselves. So we don't have to live hidden as children of God, right? He wants us to live openly before him because he sees everything anyways. He knows everything. He knows the condition of your heart. He knows what you were thinking. He knows what you did last week. He knows what tantrum you threw through. He knew when I got angry about this. He knows all these things.
Yeah.
So hiding it from him is kind of, I don't know why we do. It's this strange old nature habit that we have to learn to go, you know what? Nothing is hidden before you, Lord. And so I just want to just share that with people. It's kind of a practical side of dealing with the stony heart. Expression, but it's like a way of confessing.
Yeah.
You go before the Lord and you say, Lord, here's the condition. I'm stuck. My heart is this way, but I don't want to be this way. I really don't. I don't want to be hardened against this. I don't want to feel bitter against that. So I need you to help me walk this out. Sometimes we pray prayers like, I need you to take this away. And the Lord's like, I'm willing to take it away. Again, hand extended. But are you willing to let it go?
Yeah.
And that's the forgiveness part. We have to release what we're holding on to. And when we do that, the Bible says that when we release, he forgives.
Yeah.
And that's the beginning of opening up the heart and softening of the heart. And the last picture I got there was the potter and the clay. The only way that the potter can work with the clay is if the clay is pliable. And so what you usually do, and I don't make a lot of pottery, but I remember my 7th grade pottery class. if they had clay that had sat out overnight and it wasn't covered by plastic, it starts to get hard. However, it's still workable, right? It's not too far gone. But you have to do what? You have to wet your hands and you have to put a little water on it and then you have to work it. And so I note we have to release ourselves into the hands of the Lord, trusting that he will work with us. He will work that hard place out of us and he will make us into something that's pliable, shapeable in his hands, and he will work out the situation.
It's good.
Amen. I was just literally, the word strategy kept coming.
Three times.
I feel like I just need to reemphasize though the fact that temptation is not a sin, it's what we do with it, right? But the strategy gave me then a vision of Jericho, because when you were explaining about, you know, the heart and all of the things, and if you look at Jericho, like those people thought that they isolated themselves, they secluded themselves, and they thought that they were impenetrable.
Right.
We've talked, use that word again.
Yeah.
They thought that they were not going to be able to be touched and they were safe behind those rock walls. God had a specific strategy mm. when it came to breaking those walls down. Mm-hmm. He didn't go in and say, take a sledgehammer and have one person go on this side of the wall right. and one person go on this side of the wall. He didn't say, go take a catapult and fling a giant other rock into that mm-hmm. rock and break it down. No, mm. he just said, basically go around and worship, go around this thing. And he said a specific number of times, his perfect number 7, right? Mm-hmm. And then at the end, scream,
yeah.
and it will fall.
Yeah.
And it did. Can you imagine being inside of those walls and having this one concept and idea of like what you thought?
Right.
Everything was good. You were safe. You were in the walls. Everything was going to be good. And then all of a sudden, everything yeah. around you just crumbles away.
Super
because
good.
Of God.
Yeah. So that confirms, I literally had that run through my mind when David was speaking earlier.
Yeah.
And so let's like just... tandem, like we're going to prophesy that out over people, because I really truly believe like what Athena was saying, that the Lord is actually doing that today. Mm. And if you run into him as your high tower and rest and wait on the Lord, he's going to cause the walls to fall down.
Thank you, Lord.
There was no earthquake that mm-hmm. happened that day. Mm-hmm. They just fell.
Yep.
They just opened up and fell down. Like as much as he could just part waters, he can drop walls. Mm-hmm. That's how powerful well he said. Is. Nothing is beyond his grasp. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. I really feel this for somebody out there. It doesn't matter how dire or how deep or how complicated or David used the word convoluted earlier, like how dense those walls seem to be. God can drop them in a moment. Jesus. It's just about, you said that worship, and that worship was their willingness to do what God said. So there's this condition of obedience when we come into alignment with the Lord and just say, Lord, I'm going to obey the way you say to do things. And so here's what you say. You say, forgive so you can be forgiven. You say, soften, humble yourself. So I'm humbling myself before you right now. You say to, let go of offenses. So I'm going to start letting go of offenses. We just determined to start doing things the way God said to do them, and walls will fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a bit of a challenge here, because in James it says, confess your sins to one another mm-hmm. that you may be healed. And for me, it's very easy to come before God and say, I have all these problems and I feel comfortable doing that. But to confess to somebody, right? We're not only meant to be tender and connected to God, we're meant to be tender and connected to the body.
That's so good.
Amen.
And when we're not doing that, we're like, well, how come, I confess to the head, how come I don't feel his hand comforting me? Because you're looking to the head to put a hand on you.
Right.
Yeah. That's you need to look to the hand, you need to look to the body. And this is where I break down, because I think, you know, there's always the shame thing, like you guys mentioned, where it's like, you know, is our heart going to come out in public where we could look weak, you know, where we could look not put together,
right.
We could look sloppy, we could look sinful, or people could say, why are they emotional? Why are they tender? Why are they crying? You know? And it's like, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like that's all a lie.
Yeah.
People connect way more to somebody that's authentic. Somebody like Jesus, he's weeping all the time. You know, he's also laughing all the time. He's totally like able to just live.
Right.
You know, and it's not God's will that we live behind all these walls and all these fig leaves. Mm-hmm. And, maybe you've never even lived in that way and you don't even know what that would look like. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, walk with God in that, and walk with people, share your struggles with somebody, you know, and you'll actually find that heals you.
Yeah.
And if we aren't willing to be vulnerable to people, I mean, it's just dividing Christ.
Right.
We're like, oh, I confess to God. And, well, he's not divided. So we have to be just as open in the light, in fellowship with God's people, as we are with God.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I mean, I say this message a lot. Like when you actually choose the light, it burns sometimes. But it cleanses you.
Mm-hmm.
And the same light that melts the wax will harden the clay. There's some people that they see the light and they just run from the light. Yeah. They will not come to the light.
Right.
They cannot bear to have anything exposed that looks weak or shameful or not, you know, whatever. But there's some that say, I just need that light.
Yeah.
Even if it melts me completely.
Yeah.
Even if I have to lose myself in the crucified love of Jesus, that's where I'm going to find myself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not just an ethereal concept.
Right.
That means I have to surrender myself in trust to somebody else as well as to Christ, you know? in other belief systems, there's like the confessional. And we like put a lot of, maybe we don't believe in that, but I think there's such value in confessing to another believer. It doesn't have to be some guy in a robe, you know, but, but to actually begin expressing the depths of who you are and see that it's received. I mean, that helps you to see like, I can be myself. I don't have to wall. I don't have to fear being hurt, you know? And, yeah, I think there's risks to be taken in this. It's not just like, well, I hope God will just make me like Jesus, you know, just like, I'll just keep praying about it.
Right.
But like prayer always includes a response too, you know? So,
Yeah,
it's not good. An easy path, but it's worth it, man, because it then you get to live unburdened. You get to live without like that specter behind you of just like, you know, am I going to look a certain way? Am I going to be exposed? Am I, you know, you just live.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's what God wants for us.
That's good. It's a willingness to lose our life. Mm-hmm. And I love what you said there, Dave, because that's, that's where one of the greatest, I will say, expressions of healing that God has already promised to his people, right? Healing is the bread of the children. Well, part of that, yes, was through Christ and his redemptive work on the cross. It was all sealed and bought and paid for and done. However, then there's the administration of it into the body, right? And the disbursement of it, right? Jesus broke the bread and he prayed over it, gave thanks, and then he gave to his disciples and they dispersed to the 5,000, right? Jesus didn't walk around handing bread to 5,000 people. His disciples did.
Yeah. Amen.
So we are, that's a picture of what it's supposed to look like, of headship down through the body, the authority of Christ transferring down and flowing down to the body, the anointing of Christ flowing down to the body. And so what did he say about the body? Like he said in James, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then he goes on to say the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, woman avails much. So if we want to have this availing, overcoming, prevailing, healing, enduring nature that the church is supposed to be, not only us as individuals, but also together, which is the way that God designed it, then there must be this element of, I 100% agree with David about confessing. Confessing is one of the secrets. It's not a secret. It's just something we don't think to do very much because we think confessing is just sharing about all of my bad feelings. Mm-hmm. It's not. Confessing actually doesn't have anything to do with the way you feel about something. Mm-hmm. Confessing has everything to do with coming into alignment with what God says about the thing. And so when we confess our sins, what I'm saying is, Lord, I have the tendency in my heart to begin to harden it because I get angry. Mm-hmm. Why am I getting angry? Because I feel like this person is asking this of me, that person's asking this of me, and I'm feeling the pressure. And the way I interpret the pressure is that I have to do so much, and now I'm feeling like I'm the only one that has to do it and I have to carry all this weight and why doesn't somebody else? And I'm trying to get out from underneath. You know what I'm saying? We're doing all this jockeying and positioning and all the while I am hardening myself and it's unfair. It's unjust. It's on this, it's on that. And then if I get religious, I'll be like, well, they should know that the word says and better. And you know, it gets weird.
It's a rebellious spirit.
Yes. And so what I'm doing is I'm getting stubborn and I'm being rebellious, but why am I doing that? We could dig back into my childhood when I was 4 or 5, which by the way, could actually be, could actually, I'm not throwing stones at that. Like it actually could be a factor. Stones. However, I'm in today. Yep. I'm 45 today, not 5. So how do I deal with that right now? The Bible says this, release it. Mm. He says, forgive. He says, let it go. Mm. Harden not your heart. And then he says, 1 Corinthians 13. Are you keeping rights? Are you keeping track of the last time you were wronged by this person? Yeah. Because if you are keeping track of that, what you're doing is you're creating a, quote, triggering situation, right? People just kept this new word, you know, I'm triggered by this. I told a group we were speaking to one time, I said, you know, if you're triggered, most of the time when we're triggered is, yes, it's probably because of wound, but really it's because of stockpiles of unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. And you have so much ammunition stockpiled that if anybody, you know, cuts you off or anything, boom, they get the stockpile. Yeah. You unload on them. And you're giving yourself license to do that. And Christ says, nope, you should have nothing stored up in your heart. other than the good things of God that will be, you know, bear good fruit. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have any bitterness in there. You definitely shouldn't have a bitter well coming up within you. And so he just goes down the line. So you could go about as deep into your history as you want, or be right now in the present and look at the Word of God, and the Word of God addresses it plain and clear. Mm-hmm. You have to let it go. You have to forgive. You cannot harden your heart. You have to work towards, you know, and if it's hard to get there, that's why he gave the body. Mm-hmm. We can help each other get there. And so David and I have had breakfasts and lunch and wonderful times together, just fellowshipping and go, man, I know I need to overcome this, but I just see it this way and I'm a little stuck. And we fellowship, and next thing you know, the anointing of God comes in the middle of our fellowship and you feel the tension break.
Yeah.
You feel the release.
To reframe
it. That's God has that for us. He has that for every single one of us as we engage in fellowship.
Yeah. Mm. And confession is actually the first key and tool that the Lord gave us towards repentance.
Mm.
And we are all called to repent. Yeah. We can't turn from something if we don't confess it with our mouth.
Mm.
And I know that in my own self, a lot of the times for me, pride has been a stone that I've put up or a hardening I've done because I didn't want people to know my business. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I was like, no, I don't want to even tell somebody, one person something, because then what if they go tell another person and they tell another person, then everybody's going to know my business. And then all of a sudden, then you just start having these things pile on you that are not of God. And I recall a specific situation that I had in my life of something that I had like literally never told anybody ever. And as I was coming into the Lord and into my walk with the Lord now in my life, I had reached this new pivotal point where something was still eating away at me and I didn't quite understand what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept revealing it to me in his way, again, his strategy, right? He kept showing me little tidbits of things so that I was able to come to the revelation that I needed to speak it out.
Right.
Like literally, and the more that I started realizing that, the more powerful that impression on in my spirit became.
Mm.
And so I actually called my really good sister friend, Michelle, and I was like, I need to meet with you. We need to have a conversation, please. And because I had prayed, God, show me somebody that I can take that first step with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest part, right?
It is.
So I did, and immediately I remember sitting across the table from her and just weeping and weeping before I even said a word. I hadn't even said anything yet.
Yeah.
And her being her just sat there with me, let me do it, just held my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just got to that point where I was like, I knew it was the time.
Right.
And from the moment that I spoke it out, it was like a huge weight had been lifted off of my shoulders. Yeah. And then the Lord started providing all of these beautiful images of things that I could now do with that thing that I was never able to talk about
before. Yeah. So good.
And it was just because I was allowing it, my own pride, to hold me back, to keep holding that stone instead of giving it to God.
Yeah.
And so that's the beautiful thing about confession, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another beautiful thing about confession.
Powerful.
We get to have. Awesome. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, just to go back to what you said, kind of like when you get a trigger,
because
I think it's important, because it's kind of like a pus thing, you know, it's like a cyst, you know, like when something happens, and it could be unforgiveness that gets released, but it could also be shame, it could also be rejection.
Sure,
I've been rejected so many times in this area, you know, and it's just like you don't want to feel that again, so you're just like you know, and you have something that you just put in. Cause for me, I feel like, you know, underneath all that is I won't be able to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I actually let the person say this, or I let this situation happen, without a good defense, I won't be able to handle it.
Yeah.
I have to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And all these walls are kind of just like, I got to avoid the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, if you look at, you know, again, just the only thing that ever ministers to me is Christ. So that's why I just always bring it to Christ.
Yeah.
He just lets it hit him. He's like, all right, you know, okay. And he teaches us, turn the other cheek, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go the extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
He teaches us, like, you can handle it.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful just message that he's been speaking to me, is like, by my spirit, you have, you know, Christ is being formed in you.
Right.
You're not just like looking to him as an example. He's formed in you. And the things that you could never handle before, and you had to build the walls, and you just said, no, I'm going to avoid that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take accountability. No, that's the pride. That's the stubbornness. I'll be shamed. I'll be punished. You know, like or man, I can't feel that rejection again. I can't feel that right. insult again. Right. You know, it's better for me to just start already building something,
building
a case, building a defense that I'm going to have it ready. And I got a full magazine, you know, then it makes us feel kind of good.
Right.
But it's like, but what is it? Just creates more and more pus in that cyst, you know, you're just, it's more rotten in there.
I love how you're making it sound so just miserable.
It's totally miserable. It's a leprous condition in your heart. And
if
Jesus
you have a
is
wall around
wanting
you,
to
though,
do that.
You know? You're isolated, right? Mm-hmm. And how, if you're behind your wall, Pastor David, how can I see that pus? How can I as your sister point? I know, right? That's what I'm saying. The enemy wants us to be isolated.
So you guys,
we're in a leper colony of our own making.
I'll jump over that wall and come over and be like, I'll be here.
I gotta jump into this. That's Isaiah 53. Is the scripture has been on my heart for like 2 years. And just the Lord led me to read it one day, and I read it and something different hit. Mm. Completely different. And exactly what you're saying there, David, it's not just that he died on the cross for me thousands of years ago so that I could get saved. It's a reality today.
Yeah.
Because he's resurrected, obviously, but he took on all of those things way back then. So every time I am getting wounded, I can actually take the wound where the Lord says, cast your cares upon me. I can quite literally... I mean this, it's in reality, it's a supernatural thing. I can take it and I can throw it upon him because he says, I took that on. Mm-hmm. Christ was the scapegoat. He was the example in the old, kind of the priesthood. He was the one when the priest would go and impart the sins of the nation onto the goat and then send the goat out into the wilderness. It was a shadow of transference of all the sins being put on the goat, and the goat goes out never to return. It wanders, right? So Christ became that for us. I know he's the lamb. He's also a lion. He's also the goat, the greatest of all time, right?
Oh,
he's the real,
the original, the OG goat.
God of all time.
God of all time.
God over all time.
But he took that upon himself. If you read Isaiah 53, you'll see he took and he bore them. Mm-hmm. He carried the weight of it, all the stones, all the bricks, all the places of torment that we take upon ourselves or impose upon ourselves, right? It's self-preservation at times, like you said, Athena, totally. I'm preserving myself. I don't want anybody to see this. I don't want anybody, you know, when I was young, I didn't want people to know that I was embarrassed because of my skin color, you know, because I grew up in a mostly Caucasian kind of environment, and they didn't do anything, but I felt out of place. And then there were some people who did do something, so I walled up and was like, well, nobody's ever gonna see me as this. But then it started me down a path of being indifferent to almost everybody. And that God had to really deal with that hardened place of my heart. But it seems like a place of self-preservation. You can go, well, I get how you can get there, but Jesus doesn't look at you and go, well, I get how you can get there. He goes, I didn't design you to be like that. So no matter what happened to you when you were young and what you went through in your teen years and what you went through as a young adult and what you went through in the bad relationship and what you went through in that bad employment situation or what you, all these different, a church hurt and all of that stuff. God doesn't want you hurting and wounded. He wants you whole. Isaiah 53 says he took on all of those things, our sin, our transgressions, all the times that we've been backbit and lashed at with words. And he took all of those things on himself. And he still today is saying, throw that on me. Throw that on me. You don't even have to carry it. Throw it on me. And when we do, that's the releasing. And then he says, now I want you to do that for your brother. I want you to step into the place like I did for you and let him throw that upon me.
Yes.
Be my body and heal each other. Like we're on the threshold of stepping into something big here. I know it. But this is a big part of it. Is inner healing, a healing to our hearts, learning how to remain in a soft, pliable, exposed. Jesus was totally put to shame. He was crucified naked.
Yep.
It's the ultimate. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that. So he He said, I became shame for you.
Yeah. Flesh torn from his body, all of the things. Something I've always told my children is that the things that we view as negative from our past, from our childhood, whatever it may be, because sometimes we can experience things now even that we use in this regard, is we can either take it and it can become an anchor to continually hold us back and allow us not to move forward or move on with what we're supposed to be in life. So you're just stuck in that place, or you use it as ammunition to be able to build yourself up and grow from it, learn from it, take it as something that you can actually then pass on to somebody else as well through our testimony, right? The things that we get to share with others and speaking it. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's really important, as you were just talking about that, that we need to just recognize those things. Like we have a choice, right? God gave us a choice. Right. So we can either hold it and allow it to become that anchor. It will grow into an anchor and it'll embed itself in the ground and it will literally hold you in that place.
Yeah, that's good.
Or you can take it as ammunition and say, okay, how can I defeat this? How can I defeat this feeling? How can I do this? And one of the ways, as we've talked about, is confession, speaking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steer right into those lies, shine the light on them. Mm-hmm. And just that lie that, oh, you're not, you can't handle it. You're not acceptable. Yeah. You're to blame. You're worthless. Okay. You know, if that's who you think you are, you will hide. Mm-hmm. That's not the gospel.
No.
It's not what God made
you. You need to hear that. Like, God does not put that on you.
No.
Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're enduring hostility, it's like you're tempted to harden up, you know? Mm-hmm. But like you said, he endured that, you know, and he's in you. And he responded in mercy.
Yeah.
And he responded in a way that healed the sinner.
Yeah.
That was afflicting him.
So soft the whole
time. It's not just, this is not a way to survive. What we're talking about, right. Having
it's not survival.
Having a tender heart. If you want to survive, you need a stony heart.
That's right.
If you want to save with Christ, if you want to overcome, if you want to live fully alive, you need a tender heart.
Yes.
Amen. But you will suffer. But your suffer will be redemptive.
Right.
And it will be full of glory.
Hallelujah.
And that's the choice that we have to make.
Right.
Am I going to survive, or am I going to take the full life that God has? Yes. Am I going to share the sufferings of Christ, the power of his resurrection, and even be conformed unto his death?
That's right.
Lose myself in the Christ that he's put in me
so
that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
That's right.
And he never walls up. You know, he's like you said, he's nailed to the cross. He's like, all this you do to me, I'm still not going to let you die.
Hmm.
I'm still coming back.
It's amazing
to reconcile with you.
It's beautiful.
It's almost unfathomable. He did not harden himself at all.
No,
at any point, even in the most. You know, it says that he didn't cry out.
Yeah,
at times,
the lamb, yeah.
He didn't cry out. He just silently said, "I'm taking this on." Mm-hmm. You know. It's so powerful. I wanted to add to something you said there, David, and then maybe we can have Athena pray us out.
Yep.
You were talking about the suffering part, and I want people to know that, yes, when we're tenderizing ourselves, see, it's counter, it doesn't make sense to our natural nature, to our physical, I'm going to say our flesh, our body, and the way our brain thinks, because our bodies do have a self-preservation mechanism within them. Our bodies are designed to keep themselves safe, but our heart is not. Mm. Our new heart is not. Mm-hmm. That's not built into our new heart anymore.
Right.
But what happens is sometimes our senses, our emotions can bring about this kind of natural tendency to want to shell up and pull back. And the Lord's saying, no, I don't want you to pull back. I want you to stay grounded. Rooted and grounded, and say it that way so it doesn't sound spiritualistic. Rooted and grounded in what? The word. Rooted and grounded in the faith. Rooted and grounded on Christ, right? The foundation. As you're rooted and grounded, and now he gives us the picture of like trees that will bend and they will flex and they'll be under some duress and stress from winds and storms and rains, but they're not broken. They'll be able to withstand. So there is a grace. I want to say this. There's a grace of endurance. There's a grace that will keep you even if you're in this time of suffering. Yeah. So being tender before the Lord is what he wants. And yes, in this world, it will feel rough. but he gives you a grace for it, right? He says his grace is made perfect in our weakness.
Yeah.
And so our job is to remain in that humble, pliable, softened, I'm going to say weak state, but it's a supernatural weak. It's not like we're actually weak. When we're weak, he is made strong, right? Yep. So it's a position where we are fully surrendered. It's this idea again of surrender. When we're surrendered by the world standards, that's weak.
Yeah.
That's completely weak. Like you said, like if you want to like survive all this stuff, you get hard, you get big, you get strong, you get more ammunition, you wall up, you fortify. That's what you do. The Lord says, nope, I make all walls fall down, exposed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all it's going to take is his word now to carry you. And that grace will keep you through whatever it is that you're facing, and you'll remain tender.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah, there's such an incredible resilience.
Yeah.
It's greater than rigidity.
Yeah.
Right? It says the one who's often reproved and hardens his heart will someday be broken beyond healing.
Mm.
You know, so it's like we can survive for so long until it just snap.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to snap.
Yeah.
Where the Lord's like, let's not do that.
Yeah.
Let's become resilient and flexible.
Yes.
Let's be moved by the wind of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Let's respond with tears and with grace and with restoration like Christ. And you know, we realize it's easier said than done, but I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is on what we've been saying.
Yeah.
And if you hear this, just say, yeah, Lord, I need this gift. And I'm even willing to tell others that I need this gift and to work with you and work with them. Because in you, I can walk in it, walk through this, you know? So I don't know if you want to close us out, prayer and
just one step at a time, sweet Jesus. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we just thank you, thank you, thank you. Right now, God, I just speak against the walls. I speak against the ploy of the enemy, Lord. I say that you are the one and only thing that we need. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for sending your son so that he could do all of these amazing things for us and lay a foundation that we can build our lives upon, Lord. So right now, I just speak against any walls that are starting to be built up. I speak against the ploy of the enemy, against anybody listening, Lord, or watching right now, God. And I just ask that your truth shine through, Lord, that they are right now being spoken to, that Holy Spirit is coming in and revealing to them the things that they need to be able to remove some of those hardening places, God, or that they are recognizing where they need to go in order to get that heart of flesh, Lord, that you have promised and that you have given all of us that have already walked out what we're supposed to, God. We thank you for the ability to put one foot in front of the other, God, to make a decision every moment, every second of the day, God, to be able to follow you, to listen to you, and to hold on to you, and to keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord, as you did everything that you did for us, God, and you continue to. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the ability to be able to remove the stony heart in the first place, God. And that I say right now in the name of Jesus, everybody go out and recognize God is with you. He loves you. And all he wants to do is be with you in everything that you do in life, God. So we just thank you and praise you for everyone listening and everybody watching. We just ask that you go forth before them, beside them, and behind them in all of these decisions that they make on a day-to-day basis, because we are in the world, but we are not of it, God. And I just claim that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Till next time.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.